morning, New Life. Amen. So good to be at home with family. I'm going to hang on to this water and kind of sip on it while I talk to you today. Amen. Very important time of the season that we're in. We're moving right into 2019. And we're going to take advantage of that reference point, amen, this calendar year, and talk about how we can go together into 2019. Amen. Special announcement, next Sunday, 2019, 21 days of prayer begins. 21 days of prayer and fasting. We had 3 hand claps on that one. I hear you. You know we have to do that so that we can just kind of like, okay, amen. You don't have to pray during the 21 days of prayer and fasting. You get to. Amen. As long as you have to do it, it's not going to go anywhere. It'll drop in front of you. But if you come to a place like we're going to talk today, amen, about, you know, you having what God wants you to have. He has a lot more to give, and he wants you to have more of it. Amen. And there's a way you can get it. We're going to talk about that today. But 21 days of prayer and fasting, and push something back in your life that's got a little bit too much room in your life, and make more room for Jesus. Is that okay? And you're already been challenged with what those things are. Trust the Lord for 21 days to push it back and make room for him. Amen? And if you can, show up here at 6 a.m. and join with us as we pray together and we ask the Lord to give us direction. You'll get a good word that morning. You'll feel the presence of God. And you'll also be encouraged by the confirmation on what God's saying to you, because you'll hear God use others to say the same thing he's saying to you. And that'll increase your faith. And there's some things we need to do as believers when we come together. When we're together, something powerful happens. We're 2 or 3 gather together. I'm in their midst. Can you put that to the test for 21 days? I assure you that today, 22, you can't live without it. You got to have it. Amen? And that's a good habit to have. I need more of Jesus, right? So also, next Sunday, our equip classes start. We'll be doing Fresh Start and a Freedom Equip class. If you haven't done the Fresh Start before, get on board with Fresh Start. Kind of gives you an insight on the principles and the doctrines, the things that we hold precious here as promoting Jesus. You'll want to join that class. It's a great class. But every one of us has areas in our life we need to be free in, correct? Even if you've been in that class, you might want to go back through it because we all need more freedom. And so next Sunday, they'll be starting an equip class called Freedom. Or it's just called Freedom, right? You'll enjoy that. 2019, powerful year. Amen. Had a great year in 2018. And we can look back and we can draw honey from many experiences. And that's wisdom to do that. But we're going to look forward today on you being God's vessel that he finishes what he started through. Amen. He'll finish you, but there's some grander things that he wants to do, but he can't do it without a vessel. And you and I have been designed to live transcendent lives. That means we live beyond us. We're touching lives. We're life changers. We're world changers. And so fulfillment is something we all need. Anybody agree with that? Need some fulfillment? And because we need to be fulfilled, when you're not fulfilled, you're not happy. You're not tracking with joy and peace. Fulfillment is something we're all looking for. Most of the time, as professed believers, many professed believers, we try to reach fulfillment through things in this world, through living up to status quo, the culture around us, it has influence on us. And we'll try to find that fulfillment from those means. But you were not designed to be fulfilled from the world lens or from the world level or from a logical way of moving forward in life. You were designed by God to host his presence. And if we stopped today and we just ended with that thought, that you were designed by God to host his presence, we could stop right now and have prayer and host God's presence, and you would begin to experience fulfillment just hosting his presence. But hosting his presence is more than me having an experience with God, which is key. It's allowing that experience to take lordship in my life and move from here to wherever I go, being the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That's who we were designed to be, to transcend beyond me to others. When I do that, that moves heaven more. Anybody want to move heaven more? Because God's got a lot to give, and he wants to give it to you. But as long as I move from one day to the next and I make it about me, he won't give it because he can't. He can only give it to those that follow him in his grand purpose. Can we agree? In New Life Fellowship, we've come to realize that Jesus has given us four key steps into moving into a transcendent life. And the first step in New Life Fellowship that we've realized that Jesus has given us is that lost people, they get found. And we can be lost in our relationships. We can be lost on our jobs. We can be lost in our little world that we live in, our little caves that we create. We can be lost and go to church and not be the church. But God wants us to be found. And he's the only one that can find us. Sometimes he will use someone in my life that is aligned with him. That's living this kind of life that transcends them and it impacts me. That's awesome. When God uses someone else to, amen, to touch my life with his fingerprint, he finds me. And I can track back in my life the day that the Lord found me. I tried to find him, but I couldn't. He had to find me. And I couldn't help but say, look, only the Lord could have done this. But once he found me, amen, he has a plan. And each motion with God is steps. He wants us to follow in his steps. And Jesus outlined those steps in his ministry. When he came to earth, amen, robed himself in flesh, and he depicted these steps that you and I could follow. And so by being found, I was filled with his spirit. I was baptized in his name. Amen. I began to host his presence. And in hosting his presence, I was saying to him, Lord, whatever your will is, I'm all in. And I begin to consider what his will is. And his will has a plan. It has a structure. It includes more of his people, more of members of his body. And for me to follow him, I had to become willing to be mentored. I didn't have to, but I get to. Because then I begin to see value in the body of Christ. I begin to see value in my brother and sister. I begin to see the value of family. And that those that God has invested in and those that have, amen, have got, amen, the scars in their life and the challenges of life, life has marked them and given them wisdom. This found person now can be mentored because I'm submitting to God by submitting to others. I'm going to tell you, in our world right now, step two is my major issue in the Christian world, because many professed believers don't trust one another. And the evidence that we don't trust one another is that we don't trust God. God is into everybody, and people are going to hurt you. But God needs people that are flawed, that don't have it all together, that he's working on, that he's still wanting to finish some things in their life. He wants them in my life Amen. So that I can trust God with them. Amen. Is this helping anybody? Mentorship is not saying that, amen, that I'm going to be your mentor and I'm not going to hurt your feelings, or I'm not going to do things wrong at some time or another. And those things happen because the evidence of flesh is here. I'm not perfected, but I'm walking in perfection. Would that help anybody? I'm walking in the spirit of perfection. But the reality of it is, if God placed you in my life, can I trust God with you regardless of your flaws? Can you make a mistake that may hurt my feelings and me still be okay with the fact that God has me in a process? Amen. So once a lost person is found, they have been given, by being found, they have been given the inspiration of, I trust God. He fills you with passion. Amen. And that passion is the fuel by which you're able to yield yourself undercover to God's plan and be mentored. Amen. We need each other. And there's more than one mentor in every one of our lives. There's more than one person in every one of our lives that impact our world. Amen. And help us get godly counsel. So that while we're being mentored, amen, we're equipped. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, amen, you know, you've heard me talk about golf. You're not going to play a good game of golf if you don't have a mentor. And if you don't submit to the process, you're never going to be equipped to enjoy the game. It'll always frustrate you, and you want to throw the clubs in the water. Amen? Throw the ball away. Throw the club out. You know, you just hear me. The process of being mentored means you're being equipped for an objective. And when you get equipped, you're now able, number four step, to engage in being a life changer, a world changer, to live a life that's transcendent, that goes beyond you. You were designed by God to tend to his garden, to hold his kingdom in your spirit, and wherever you go, to give that kingdom out. Freely you have received, freely give. And I'm here talking about what really matters today, and that is the double portion. The double portion. Every one of us has been given a double portion blessing if you've been filled with the Spirit. How many here have received the promise? If you receive the promise, you get joy. And the joy of the Lord is your... Ladies and gentlemen, God has joy. And some of us have tried our best to get that joy by the fact that he has joy. It don't work that way. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How does God get his joy? And when you begin to evaluate how God gets his joy, you do that by listening and following. You do that by considering the written word by way of the relationship between the writer and God. You begin to consider what God's doing in those that are mentoring your life, and how that through time, space, amen, the evidence of God is in their life. And you begin to see the fingerprint of God. It's obvious if you align yourself with these objectives, the things that God is interested in, that you might be right in the middle of his joy. So if Jesus loves people and Jesus goes about doing good, raising the dead, healing the sick, the blind, come on, setting people free, if that's what he goes about doing, and he gets joy from that, anybody needs some joy? All followers of Christ align themselves with what brings joy to the Lord. And joy follows them. You cannot go to church and get joy. You If you think today because you've attended New Life Fellowship that, man, I'm going to go to church again and hopefully God gets some joy before I leave. That's not how joy comes. Oh, you've heard me say it, and I told you I'm not going to quit saying it. But when you be the church, when you become a member of the body of Christ, the place where he laid his head, the place where he leads from, the place where he's glorified, the place where he's Lord, when you yield to his lead, his headship, his authority, amen, him being Lord in your life, joy will come into your life. And there are people around you. Begins with those closest to you, your spouse. When you serve your spouse the way the Lord serves his spouse, joy follows. But you don't understand, Pastor. I'm not okay, and it's their fault. You'll never get joy with the idea that they need to change for you to be happy. Is this okay? You can only get joy when you realize he's the Lord, regardless of how your spouse treats you, regardless of how the children respond to you as a parent, regardless of how your employer treats you. Your joy does not come from your spouse or your employer or your children. Your joy comes from the Lord. And the Lord is on a mission. And he chose you and all of his creation to be his platform by which he does what he does. You have been designed by God to live a transcendent life. And he does not give you and I this responsibility without empowering us and giving us passion. If you have a passion issue, if you have a lack of fire in you, if you feel like, man, I've been run over, 2018 body slammed me. It didn't body slam Jesus. How did it body slam you? And I know you know, but I went to church every Sunday, and I was a part of whatever department, and man, I just got body slammed. Jesus don't get body slammed. He's going to burn up every bit of the chaff. What do you mean, Pastor? Anything that's not of his kingdom. He baptizes us with spirit and with fire. He thoroughly purges his floor with the baptism of his spirit. To where it's not about as soon as this changes, then I'll be okay. No. Where you meet him and you let him become Lord in your life is where the change happens with the person in the mirror. There's no such day that's ever been created that can body slam a child of God unless that child lets it body slam them. And there is nobody in this world that's ever going to change good enough for you to be happy. Bro, I can walk through this crowd. Amen. And there could be four or five people that had died, and I could resurrect four or five people here in the next 30 seconds, and that's not going to change your life. This is so important today. I know I'm just talking to you, but I know I'm talking from heaven right now because God has trusted something into your care that's precious. It's his presence. And know this, he says, my presence will not always strive with man. And yet we have the presence of God here, and we can get drunk on the idea that I can feel God, and I can be okay with the fact that I can feel God, but I never follow God. I never get in motion with God, amen, so that he's able to give me more of what he wants me to have. Now, if you feel like, man, Pastor's making me feel guilty, that is not my goal today. There is no goal today in you feeling guilt. My goal is today to serve you where guilt don't have any platform in your life no more. That's why you will never, ever come here without me preaching the promise. Because where the promise is, and when you let the promise come in, you let God's spirit take over in your life, guilt cannot be there when the presence of God is in your spirit. You're only one that is led by conviction. Trying to calm down. Conviction is what the presence of God gives us. He never gives us guilt. God's not asking you to do something for him. Let me say that one more time. God is not asking you to do something for him. Don't ever be, as a Christian, think that God's asking you to do something for him and that if you do that, then you get his good graces. What he is asking for you to do is he's asking you to give him your heart. He wants a relationship. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about y'all, but I'm a guy. I like certain things, but there's a part of me that likes to know I've been affirmed by my father. That I have his eye, that I have his attention, and he wired me that way, and he did you the same way. And he put together an experience that when we yield to his presence and we let him fill us up until our cup's running over, we become world changers. We can't help it. As life changers, the world around us begins to be influenced by this overflowing presence of God, which is the double portion blessing. I don't know. Did the media team put all these scriptures on the brochures? All them scriptures are there? Ha, ha, ha. You get to go home and check out whether or not Pastor Lowe's telling you the truth. Because I was going to read all that. I'm going to read a few today, but ain't going to be very many. You get to go and find out whether or not the presence of God that's in this room, amen, is validated and confirmed by the scripture, the written word. You can go do that. By the way, when you read it, listen. Don't just read it and don't pay attention to voices in the past that had an interpretation of it that's not correct. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. Let passion get a hold of your heart so that you can be a world changer. And when you become a world changer, amen, and you yield to that reality as a world changer, then God can do some other things in you that will take you to a new level, amen, of passion. Amen. The more I touch people's lives, the more passion I get from heaven. Now, in the old, now keep in mind, first was the natural, then came the spiritual. Everybody agree with that? In the Old Testament, we read everything that happened naturally. In the New Testament, amen, the Spirit of God, amen, became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word of God. Right? And he opens the door so that Adam, fallen man, that lives in the natural realm, that's impacted by the enemy, but yet there was principles that are set in stone that reveal God and he won't change. Everybody agree with that? God don't change. Now, since Jesus shows up, he opens up the spiritual lens of what's really going on and shows us how to walk in the spirit of those principles and precepts that were established in the old. First came the natural, then the spiritual. In the natural, the firstborn had the right of the double portion blessing. And that word right, you can go read it when you get a chance. That word right in the original Hebrew means responsibility. You know, I used to think the firstborn was God's favorite and that it was a right of favoritism. But that's not the objective. It was a right of responsibility. And that when the firstborn received the double portion blessing, he was receiving that blessing because he was responsible for the family now. It was a sign of his father's strength. And now, instead of him lording over his family, he has been given something so that he can serve his family. And everybody got inheritance. But his responsibility was to make sure he served the family in relation to his father's strength. I don't know about y'all, but that triggers something in my spirit. That you and I, since we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And that we took a name that's above every name because he gave us that name. The same name that he gave us, we're baptized into it. You and I are members of that one body, the body of Christ. You are a firstborn. And this earth, there's a lot of brothers and sisters out there that need daddy in their life. And they have been given an inheritance too. And the presence of God is available for whosoever would come and drink of the water of life freely. But to you that have been filled with the Spirit, for you that have received the promise, the double portion, the anointing, amen, the overflow, out of your, come on, when we receive the promise, we receive something that it flows out of us like rivers of living water. You've been given passion through the Spirit to tend to the responsibility of God's kingdom. Adam is alive now again. Was not Adam the firstborn in the garden? And wasn't his responsibility to take care of the garden? He was covered with God's presence. He walked with the voice of God. He listened and he followed and he tended to God's business. And the whole garden was blessed because of him. Anyone that's born of the Spirit is a child of Abraham. And the promise that God gave Abraham extends to you and me today. You go read in your notes that when you were born of the Spirit, you became a child of Abraham and had right to the inheritance. And the firstborn in the spiritual, it says it, Paul's writing, it was not Isaac, but it was to one seed, and that seed was Christ. I'm not trying to get deep here for you, but if you believe Jesus is the answer and you feel the presence of God, and does anybody feel the presence of God in the room today? You know God's here. You come because when you come here, you know that there's going to be evidence that Daddy meets with us. Every time we come together as the body of Christ, his presence is there. When my wife wants my presence, guess what? When she does anything, amen, that comes to get my attention, guess what? And if I'm a decent husband, how much better is he than we are? That when we come together, his presence meets us there to cover us and to give us more. Three points today. You are a world changer. Second point, you've been given passion because to become a world changer, you were filled with the Spirit. Therefore, because of the Spirit, you have passion to tend to the responsibility. What's that responsibility? God's kingdom. To love on what he loves. You've been given that right. But not only have you been given that right and that the responsibility, God has more to give you. He has more, and he wants you to have more. Does anybody want more? Okay, how do I do this? I'm glad you asked. Oh, by the way, before I tell you that, I got a few minutes. A survey was done in America among Americans, and they asked how much money would you have to make to be considered rich. And America responded and said $150,000 a year salary, you are a rich person. The survey company went to the people that made $150,000 a year and asked them, are you rich? And they said, oh no, You don't have my college bills and all these. They thought they were poor. Is this okay? So they found out that the $150,000 a year, group, they didn't think they were rich at all. So they went to the group that made $35,000 to $45,000 a year and gave them a survey and said, how much money would you have in order to be rich a year? And they came up with the number $75,000 a year. They would be rich. So we went to the $75,000 group and asked them, were they rich? And said, no. Then they went to the Money Magazine subscribers and gave a survey. They said, how much money would you have yearly in order to be considered rich? And they come up with a liquid amount that they would have to make yearly, and it was $5 million to be rich. But when you ask that group, were they rich, none of them said no. None of them said, yeah, every one of them said, no, we're not rich. So when you ask, nobody is rich, but everybody knows someone that is rich. Survey proves that anyone that makes $44,000 and $45,000, I'm using money as an example, a year, they're in the top 1% in the world. And according to the world, if you make, this is a household combined income. Man and woman, if they make a combined income of $44,000, $45,000 a year, they are rich according to the world standard. And you know how we know that? Here's some rich people problems. You ready? This internet is sure going slow up here in this plane I'm flying in. Oh, some of you did that. Some of y'all did this one today. You walked into a room in your house where your clothes live. And you walked in there and you said, I don't know about y'all, that's nuts. Right here. You walked into that room where your clothes live and you said, I don't have. Now, if there's any guilt, that's not the motive behind this conversation with you. But it is to let you to know who you are in the world we're living in. You want to know how God has more and how he wants to give you more? Because you need more to be who he says you are. Your identity from heaven says with a very profound zeal. This is from heaven. Then in order for you to do what God's plan is in your life, you're going to need more. And more could be a multitude of things because, here, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of us will say, when I said, raise your hand if you believe you're rich. You won't do that based on what I just come from you, but you will raise your hand when you say, is anybody here blessed? Isn't that interesting? And we are. And I encourage you today, if you're blessed in your health, start a small group and help people that aren't blessed in their health to find a place where they're tending to their health. If you're blessed in your finances, start a Financial Peace University small group and start loving on someone that needs to get their finances in order. If your marriage is healthy, start a small group, amen, to help someone else's marriage that is on the rocks. When you start investing in what God is into, you become one of his favorites. Amen? And he's not favorite in the fact that he loves you more, but now the more that he has, he can give it to you to take care of the thing that you're taking care of. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the last time I checked out on what he's doing, he goes about touching the lives of others that are hurting. And if I'll join with him on what he's doing, the joy that he has, I can have. It's not a slogan. It's not a cliche. It's not just a saying when you go to church. If you're not enjoying the joy of the Lord, you can enjoy the joy of the Lord. Let me point something out to you. I'm going to read one scripture, and it's an Old Testament scripture. And it talks about in Isaiah of fasting. And notice this in verse 5. Is this the kind of fast, Isaiah 58, that I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves. Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? Day acceptable to the Lord? And then he says, that's not what I'm looking for, is basically what he's saying here. Verse 6, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? Come on, anybody ready to fast? This is the kind of fast he's chosen. To loose the chains of the injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Y'all got to get this, because if we will align ourselves with what he's doing, we're breaking something in our life to get in rhythm with him. It's not about putting sackcloth and ashes on. It's not about appearing as though, man, I'm hungry, I need more food. No, this is the kind of fast he's looking for. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? This is the fast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not careful, you'll think naturally all the way. This is more than natural. This is spiritual. You have righteous things to give. You have spirit words. You have bread from heaven to give too. That's the most important thing you can give away, is what God has given to you. Give me this day my daily bread. That's a fresh word from heaven. People need prophetic utterances. They need declarations. They need confirmation. Is not this the fast I'm looking for? Then, oh, come on, if we catch this, this is where the joy of the Lord is. Then, this is how he's going to bless you with more. Anybody want more? Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Number one, that's what's going to happen. Amen. If you feel like, man, it's been dark, I don't know what I'm doing, I feel like I'm groping in this dark. Come on, you want your light to break forth like the dawn? Come on, align with him. Follow him. Amen. And your healing will quickly appear. That's the second blessing. That's more. Then your righteousness will go before you. Come on. It's not you, it's him. Everywhere you go, they can't see you, they see him. Huh? When you choose the right kind of fast, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard for. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. Boy, when you open your mouth to him, he's going to be right there. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing of the finger, amen, come on. John, I'm not okay, and it's your fault. When I get that out of my spirit, I'm going to shine forth like the noonday. Amen. Malicious talk. And if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, come on, next week, freedom classes are beginning. Those that participate and those that are leading that, there's special blessing that's coming with that. You satisfy the need of the oppressed. Then your light, come on, who you are as a son, your true identity will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. Come on, everybody's worried about the trouble on every side. Forget about that. Come on, align with him. He's ready to give you more. The government can't help you, but Jesus can. This world can't help you, but Jesus can. Right? and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the old foundation. Come on. God never changes. You're going to go back and just do everything the way God does it. And you will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. That's what he's looking for. You will live a life that is transcendent of you. You live beyond you. And when you live beyond you, the reason you can do that is because he's Lord in his house. Matthew 10 and 7, Jesus verifies Isaiah 58. You know what he said about it? This is how he said it. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received. Now, freely give. Don't get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. Don't put any trust in what the world values to be the source by which you bless. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. Just because you've returned God's tithe in time, talent, or resources, he's looking for your heart. He wants your heart. He wants to know he is owner of everything. The double portion. My family is special to me. I'm closing with this thought because we're going to move into 2019. And every one of you love your spouse. Yeah. Love your children. I've noticed something about me over the years, that anyone that pays my wife attention and my children attention, them people become my favorite people. Isn't that interesting? That I didn't recognize that's what's going on in me. But I didn't, you know, like Sterling Pilot, you've heard me talk about him. Man, when he came into my life prophesying. God gave him dreams about me. He talked to me. I mean, he just like blessed me. But what really moved me was that my wife became his favorite pastor's wife. And he talked to everybody about when they talked about pastors and pastor's wives. And her operating in ministry, oh, he'd always talk about my wife being his favorite pastor's wife and talk about my kids. And I didn't realize that because he invested a lot of attention, and he's like 40 years older than me, like a granddad to me. All of a sudden, Sterling Pilot became my favorite person because he valued the things that I value. I'm giving somebody a key here today. When you value what Jesus values, when you turn your attention towards what he's in love with, you become his favorite person. And he will go over and above to make sure that you have more than enough. When you make up your mind, you're going to be his preacher. His world changer, his life changer. When you make up in your mind that when you get up every day, you're on a mission to tend to his business, you become his favorite person. And the only reason you can take care of his business is not because you know that's your responsibility. He first made the step before you was able to make the next one. Nobody can do this without him. And the way you do it with him is you let him fill you up. And when you let him fill you up, you will fall in love. If you're not in love with your spouse like you should be, if you're not in love with the world around you, the people that's all around, you need to get loved by Jesus first. And when you get loved by him right, you'll fall in love with what he's in love with. And now you hold the right of the firstborn. It's not favoritism. I understand I'm talking favorites, but you made a decision. You made a choice. and he became your choice. Could we stand?